Welcome to our special broadcast on Mother's Day, which aired in 2018. It was then that we premiered the film Heart of a Shepherd, where Hank speaks about this special film. Today's message, Jochebed and Her Baby, Pastor reveals what we see in this story and how we can apply it to our own lives.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I always say, we're so happy when the weekends come and we can all get together. And during the week, we think about each other and pray for each other. And then and on the weekends, we sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, we all gather together around the throne of God and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. So we just thank you all for tuning in, for letting us come and worship with you. And today we're going to be thinking about the baby Moses and how that God took care of him, watched over him. But before that, I want to read some of the letters, just to share some of the letters. And the first one we read, it comes from Elmont, Montana. And it comes, and this is a lady, she writes, "May God bless you all and all your families of the Christian Worship Hour. Please pray for me. I am a sinner. I cuss." And he said, sure is a sin. But you know, the Bible tells us, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all." So one point or another, we're all guilty of breaking the law. But it's really sad when people curse, because as God tells us, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain," Exodus 20, verse 7. In other words, God's going to deal with those who take the Lord's name in vain. And we hear it so much now. And so I just admire this lady. She's writing and saying, "I've got a problem, pray for me." And believe me, all over the world, we're going to pray for her, that she overcomes this sin and lives for the Lord. And then here's a letter from Minot, North Dakota. And they write and say, "I'm writing to have my name removed from your mailing list. I wrote to you some time ago about your teaching on eternal security. Since I don't believe in that, I won't be listening to you anymore. I wish you God's blessings." And this is a nice letter, because this is a lady that just has a different feelings about being saved and lost. And some people think that you can be saved and then lose your salvation. But I personally believe the Bible teaches you cannot lose your salvation. And so, but look what she says. She says, "May I wish you God's blessings." And she sent a gift. And I just thank God for this lady, and I hope she'll tune us in. And because we believe on the main thing, and that is that Jesus is a Savior, and you must be born again. And so when we come to Jesus, we have eternal life. Then one more I want to read is from North Pekin, Illinois. And this is a young man. It says, "Recently I've been forced into a divorce after 25 years I did not seek. I was blindsided, and I'm still recovering. It's been 5 years since she left. The divorce should be very final, soon. My point, I guess, is I'm lonely. I've been slipping hard. I'm drinking too much, smoking again, and could read anything you send to lead me back to the Lord and help me quit all this ugliness." And so this is a wonderful letter, because as a young man, he's coming back to the Lord. And when you come back to the Lord, if we drift away, and all of us, I think, drift at times. I know I have. And when you come back, the Father's arms are wide open, and he'll receive you. And so we've already sent literature to him. And if you have a problem like this, a spiritual problem, you write to us. I'll give you the address at the close of this service. And we'll pray for you, and we'll help you every way we can. And the Lord loves you, and the door's always open for you to come back. So just turn back to Jesus. So get your pencil and paper and ready, and then at the end of the service, we'll tell you where to write. But before the message today, Hank Bowker's with us, and he has a very special announcement to give us. So God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. This past week, we celebrated the official release and premiere of the Christian Worship Hour film, Heart of a Shepherd, featuring the life and ministry of our pastor, Dr. Harold E. Salem. It's a chronicle of Pastor's life from his youth throughout his pastoral career and then his longtime affiliation with the Christian Worship Hour. Heart of a Shepherd is an inspiring, heartwarming story, but more significantly, the film carries the most important message on earth. You may be a believer, but are not sure how to pass on the good news of Jesus to your family and friends. This film is a great way to do just that. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available on DVD from the Christian Worship Hour, and you can order it by sending a free will offering of any amount to the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota 57402, or you can order online at www.christianworshiphour.com. Thank you all so much, and God bless.
And thank you, Hank. And we're just asking that all of you pray for this film, because the point of it all is we're pointing people, showing people to come to Jesus, to find salvation in Jesus. It's a film about Jesus and his great salvation. So pray that God will put his blessing on it. And it says it goes throughout the whole world, going to go in 6 different languages. And we're just trusting God to use it to bring many into a saving knowledge of Jesus. But today we're looking at Moses and how that he was, when he was born, he was under an awful judgment of Egypt and should be put to death, and how his mother and his father watched over him. And it's a wonderful story. The story opens in Exodus chapter 2, and it begins with these words. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. We're not given their names here, but other places in Scripture we're told that the father's name is Amram and the mother's name is Jochebed. Between verses 1 and 2, 2 children are born. Moses is the 3rd child in the family. The first 2 are Miriam, firstborn, and Aaron, the secondborn. And following the verse, the birth of those 2, then a terrible storm blew over Egypt, and there was an awful edict put out. And this is the edict. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And just notice this. This is wicked, heathen Pharaoh. And he practiced abortion way back there in those days, in the first century. And so it was in the very midst of that storm, that awful thing, then we read, a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that him he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. According to the law, the baby boy is to be thrown alive and crying into the dark waters of the Nile River. That was the law of the king. Over and above the king of Egypt, there stood another king, God Almighty, and he's always there, and keep that in mind. The midwives, then, they were told to kill every male child the moment it was born. But the midwives backed off from that order because they feared God in heaven more than they did Pharaoh in the castle, in the palace. Jacob, Jochebed, and Amram defy the king's orders too. They fear God, and they love the little baby boy and their parents. And they tell him, look at this child. And it says, the Bible says, he was a beautiful child. He was an exceptional child. Some of them translated, handsome child. Another translated, his rare beauty and a beautiful child. So the parents, they love them. But you know, every time a child is born, you love that baby. It doesn't matter good looking or not. But Moses was a beautiful child. And so the first step, what are they going to do? They're going to defy the king. And the first step they're going to do, they're going to keep him in the home there, that baby in the home. And that will be all, they'll just buy a little time though, that they know that. But at least they can get some time and take that little baby and keep him there. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed day and night. And then they lived every time they walked by the Nile River. They would have died to themselves. Maybe they think they saw an alligator. Maybe it was just a log. But they lived under a nightmare. And it's just like a time bomb, because this little boy is growing. He's getting stronger. And these guards are walking by the house all of the time. And I can imagine that when he gets about 3 months old, Jochebed just will take him and maybe nurse him while they're walking by to keep him quiet. and watch over him, but the handwriting was on the wall, and the time bomb was ticking, and something had to be done, and finally the day came. The parents had to face it. The child had to go, because if the child isn't caught there, not only will his life be taken, but a whole family will be wiped out by the king, for defying the king. They've got to do something. And so they have to play. They're going to place him in a little boy, put him in a little boat-like thing, and put him in the Nile River. And so Amram goes down there, but you can just see him. And he's getting the strongest, best reeds along the river he can find. And then he comes back and he makes it like a, well, it was kind of like a little coffin. And then the mother takes it and she puts slime in it and she puts pitch in it. And then like a mother bird, she lines that little coffin with as soft and as it possibly can be. And then like a precious jewel, putting a jewel in a setting, she puts that little baby into that little coffin, that little box, that little boat. And she bends over that casket and she cries and she kisses and she caresses. I've seen it at funerals in my ministry a thousand times, I bet. It may be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a son, a child, a grandson, a grandchild. Who knows? But I've seen them happen. Lord, bend low over that casket, shed their tears, and give those kisses and say goodbye. And that's exactly what happened with Jochebed. She gave that little tiny casket, and she just loved that little child. And then over and over, she kisses him. And then they go to the river. And they're going to leave and go back into Amram. And Jacob says, no, wait a minute. And she goes back. And she kisses again. And she kisses again. And pretty soon, Amram says, Jochebed, you've got to go. And he takes her by the arm. You can't stay here forever. The dawn is coming. The day is coming. We have to get out of here. And so they have to go back. And since she goes back home, but they tell Miriam, now, Miriam, you stay and you watch, the older daughter. You watch and see what happens to this little child. See what happens. And so she's terrified and she's sick at heart and she's crying for her little brother, but she's there and she watches. And so she over and over, this little girl watches and here comes something and here's something else. And she worries all the time. And then out of sight, just a strange thing. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter. That river Nile, I've seen it. It's huge, it's massive. And here comes Pharaoh's daughter with all her court. She comes to bathe in the river. And no more has she got to the river's edge, and she sees that little ark in the tall rushes. And she tells her attendants and the princes, and the princess demands and says, fetch her here, let me see what it is. And so Moses gets his name. The name means drawn out, to draw out of the water. And that's exactly what they did. She brings the little casket to the princess. And the princess opens it up to look, and there it is, a baby, a beautiful little baby. And then that little baby does what all the babies do. They cry. Because this little Moses knows that's not his mother. And he begins to cry. And fortunately, Pharaoh's daughter was a woman, and she had a woman's heart. And when the baby cried, Pharaoh's daughter was captured. She couldn't throw the baby into the river and to the crocodiles at all. She couldn't dream of such a thing. Pharaoh's own daughter could defy the king, and she's saying to herself, then no harm's going to come to this child. I'm keeping this child. Pharaoh's daughter can readily see this is a Hebrew baby. But how can she care for a nursing baby and take care of a nursing baby? And so it was that God's spirit prompted Miriam, and she comes up to Pharaoh's daughter, and she said these words, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter immediately says, go and bring her to me. And where does Miriam go? Well, she goes home, straight home. She comes running in, and probably Jochebed is there on her knees, praying and crying for her baby. And Miriam tells her to come. Mother, come. And the mother comes to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter looks at her. And I've heard people say, But that was the devil. That was God playing a trick on the devil, because here she gets the mother for this baby, and asks her to pay, and she pays her to take care of her own child. But I'm going to tell you something. When that woman saw how that mother took that baby and drew her to her breast and wept and cried and didn't know which way to turn and what to do, she knew that was the mother. Pharaoh's daughter knew it in a moment. And then Pharaoh said, her daughter said, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the story closes. The woman took the child and nursed it. And this beautiful story doesn't end there, but we're going to end there and see what lessons we can take from it. The first thing you see when you read this story is you see the providence of God. Over and over in this story, the providence of God shines through. God is there. God is in control. God is dealing with all of these things. He's in charge. Just as the story of Jochebed and Moses, how could they conceal the baby for 3 months? God was in charge. How could they keep it a secret? God was in charge. How could they figure that place where to put it, the exact spot, the exact time? Why didn't a crocodile get it instead of a Pharaoh's daughter? No, it's the wonderful providence of God. And that, I think that we need to remember this, dear friends, that God's guiding hand is upon the life of every believer. And many unbelievers, that to bring them to himself, God is in control. And we just need to know that. And when you say things happen in your life, give thanks to God, give praise to God, because he's a kind God and he's a loving God. And maybe he's let some sorrow come into your life because he wants to draw you closer to himself. Maybe he has something happen so that you put your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. God is moving events of life so that you come face to face with the gospel. And maybe he's bringing you to this very service today, and you're going to hear the message about how to accept Jesus. And you'll pray, "Yes, I want to accept Jesus." And you can pray, "Oh, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. I'm a sinner, and take away my sins, and I'll follow you and I'll serve you all my life. I'll do the best I can." Nobody's going to be perfect, but you just promise him you'll try. That's all he asks. And when you fail him, you ask him to forgive you. And I've gone to the Lord many, many times and prayed, as in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you just come to Jesus. You can do that right now. So you see the providence of God. And then the second thing you see, that you can always trust God. Jochebed and Amram illustrate this fully. They did all they could to protect their little one from harm. They hid him. They made an ark. They placed the best place they could. They put him on the river. They had Miriam watch him. They did everything they could. But there came a time when they just give it to God, see? God will give, the little bird has to fly out in the meadow to find a worm, but God will have the worm there, but the little bird has to fly. So we have to do what we can, make our move to the Lord, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God can't do that for us. We have to call on the name of the Lord. And then when we do that, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ will hear us and help us. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the way Moses' parents were. They were telling us by faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months because he was a proper child, because they were not afraid of the king's command. They did all they could, but they just trust God, give it to God. And then I want to tell you something else I see in this story. I see something, and that is, you're going to have to place your child out in that river of life sometime. Someday, sometime, that little one is going to grow up. And she's going to pack up. He's going to pack up. And he's going to walk out of that house. And he's going to go out into that big world. Jochebed had to do that. Had to give that little baby up and put him in the river. And give him to the river, to God. And so the river of life is out there flowing. And there's a lot of crocodiles out there. There are the cults. There's unbelief. And there's liquor. And there's tobacco. And there's drugs. And there's perverted sex. And there's pornography. And there's all sorts of evil. And as St. Paul puts it in Ephesians 5:12, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yes, you'll have to put your baby in the river of life someday. But I want to tell you this, friend, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jochebed did. She trained that little boy. She taught that little boy. And she told him, Moses, you are a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian. And then the day came when he was about six years old, and they took him to the palace, and all of the magicians and all of the professors and everybody in that palace and everybody they could taught him for years and years and years. But the day came when he had to make a choice, and we're told that Moses chose the people of God, the Hebrews. He was a Hebrew. He wasn't an Egyptian. The God of the Hebrews is greater than the God of the Egyptians. And he chose rather to, instead of being a Pharaoh, they think Moses could have been a Pharaoh someday. Instead of being a Pharaoh, he is going to be a slave, the Hebrew slaves. And so you teach your little children. You teach them about the Bible. Do like my mother did. Read those Bible stories to your little ones. Pray with your little ones. Talk to them about Jesus. Have them in Sunday school and don't take them to Sunday school. You go with them to Sunday school and get in there and help in that church and do something good and constructive and something that'll help to move the things along. Have Christian friends and watch what they read, watch what they see, train them, and God will take that child, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You just computerize that child, and they'll listen to that mother and dad more than they will all of the teachers and anybody else, because you have them first, and they trust you the most, and they love you the most. And all of the evils of this world cannot take over. They can't touch them at all because this wonderful God, because they're all programmed and they belong to God. That's the story of Noah, of Moses. And so when will you have that little child? And I remember when our children left home, saddest days of our marriage when our children left home. But thank God they knew Jesus and they're walking with Jesus. And that's what you need to do, but you have to show them the way. You can't just tell them and point the way. You've got to go with them all the way. And you've got to talk about Jesus. And you've got to be in places where the emphasis is on the things of the Lord and the Christian camps and whatever you do. Feed them everything, all of the good things of the Lord. And there the Lord will take care of them and guide them. But you can't do it by yourself. You have to have the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have Christ in your own life. You can't share something you don't have. And if you don't have Jesus, and you don't have Jesus unless you ask him into your heart, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to receive Jesus. And people say, I don't know how to receive Jesus. He's up in heaven. I'm down here on earth. And I am so wicked anyway, I don't know. But Jesus is not your prayer. He's right by you right now. And there's something in this saying, I want to come into your life. And you know, you're feeling right now, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And I'm praying, dear Jesus, to come into my heart. And you just pray in your own words, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you, Lord, the best I can. You won't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But when you sin, you just ask Jesus to forgive you. And he'll forgive you 1,000 times if he has to. It says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all our sins. And you take them to Jesus. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we will send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we will send you literature, and it'll get you started in the Christian life. And then you find Christian friends and find a church where they're preaching the Bible. Get together with Christian people and pray and read the Bible, and God will reveal himself to you. And if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And another thing, we do really need to have your help in your prayers, and we have to have your gifts. Costs us to carry on these services. We want to carry them on. If you think it's something worthwhile, ask the Lord, and He'll tell you whether you should get in or not. And if He tells you, then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you're on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send gifts over the internet, if you can believe it. There's a place for donate, and you can send it. And then I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, what if I send this money and they squander it? What if they spend it on themselves? What if they use it foolishly? Well, we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books. They audit them just as everything we take in and everything we spend. And we're clean as a hound's tooth. And we're proud of it. Because we're giving account to God. They've given account to this council, but we're giving it to God. And so when you send a gift and send your prayers, and we'll be looking for your help. Now, I want to pray for you. And we always pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for the persecuted church in India. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for all who've joined us, all who opened the door for us. Move in their hearts that they put their faith in you. Some may be going through hard times and difficult times. Lord, just help them to know that you've said you'd never leave us or forsake us. Maybe some of the children are watching. We had a letter from a 10-year-old child accepted Jesus. And you can I was 10 when I accepted Jesus. So you can pray for them and pray for we're praying for the young people and the shut-ins. Dear Lord, may just be all of us submit to you and love you. And we give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to wait until next week. We're going to be looking for your letter. If you have a question that deals with salvation, you write to us and we'll answer every letter dealing with salvation, how you can come to Jesus. Maybe we can send you a little literature. And if you accepted the Lord for the first time, maybe you've drifted away and you've been a Christian, used to be a Christian, and you're not living the Christian life. And so you come back to Jesus. And you remember the story of the prodigal son? He was out there in the pig pen, and for a Jewish family, that was a terrible thing. Smelled like a pig. Maybe walked like a pig. I don't know. Well, when he came home, he's wondering, I wonder if my dad will take me back. And when he got back, our father's arms were wide open. And you can say, I wonder if God will take me back. Yes, you just come to God, and he'll all come to Jesus. Pray that prayer. And we'll be praying for you, and you pray for us. God loves you. We love you. We'll see you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.